This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
The Whakapapa genealogy of the Manuka tree. In Maori worldview, every living thing has a lineage that connects it back to the beginning of time, the Purakau, the birth of Manuka. The story begins with the primal parents, Ranginui, Sky Father, and Papatuanuku, Earth Mother, who were locked in a tight embrace. Their son, Tane Mahuta, the god of the forest, famously pushed them apart to create the world of light. To clothe his mother, Tane Mahuta created the trees. According to legend, Tane had a union with a deity named Tawake Toro. From this union, the Manuka tree was born. The symbolism, the nursery tree. In Maori tradition, the Manuka is seen as a protector and a nurse. Because it is so hardy, it is often the first tree to grow back on land that has been cleared by fire or landslides. The nursery effect. It creates a sheltered, shaded environment that allows more sensitive, noble trees, like the giant kauri, to germinate and grow. The lesson, the Manuka, sacrifices itself. Once the larger trees grow tall enough to shade it out, the Manuka dies away, having fulfilled its role as the healer of the land. A witchy connection. This legend perfectly bridges the entire narrative. Resilience. Just as the Manuka heals the earth after a disaster, its honey heals our bodies. Sacred alchemy. The Maori called Manuka a taonga, treasure. When you use the resin or the honey, you aren't just using a chemical compound, you are using the divine protection gifted by Tane Mahuta. Welcome back to Path of a Green Witch podcast. I'm Asha, and today we're diving into something truly magical from the natural world called Manuka honey. Now, if you've never heard of Manuka honey, you might be thinking, isn't honey just honey? But what we're talking about today is far more than just a sweet treat for your tea. This is a golden gift from the ancient Leptospermum scoparium bush, which is native to New Zealand and Australia. It has been revered for centuries for its extraordinary healing properties. What makes Manuka honey so special is a powerful compound called methylglyoxal, or MGO, which gives it antibacterial properties far beyond what you'll find in regular honey. Our ancestors understood the power of Manuka. Today, modern research has confirmed what traditional healers always knew, that this honey can heal wounds, soothe sore throats, support digestive health, and even fight bacteria that have become resistant to antibiotics. In our practice as green witches, we honor the gifts that nature provides, and Manuka honey is truly one of Earth's most potent offerings. So whether you're looking to add it to your herbal remedies, your skincare rituals, or simply want to understand this remarkable healing honey better, this episode is for you. Here is a collection of facts about Manuka honey that go beyond simple chemistry. These focus on its botanical origins, its traditional use in New Zealand's indigenous medicine, Rongoā Māori, and its unique characteristics as a plant-based remedy. 1. Manuka honey is a monofloral specialist. Most honey is polyfloral. Bees visit many different types of flowers. True medicinal Manuka is monofloral, meaning the bees must collect at least 70% of their nectar from the Leptospermum scoparium shrub. If they wander too far to a clover field, the medicinal potency, MGO, drops significantly. 2. The nectar to medicine transformation. The antibacterial magic of Manuka doesn't actually exist in the flower's nectar. The nectar contains a compound called dihydroxyacetone, DHA. It is only after the bees add their own enzymes and store the honey in the hive that the DHA slowly converts into the superpowered methylglyoxal, MGO. It's a literal biological alchemy. 3. The Maori taonga, treasure. Indigenous Maori people have used the Manuka plant as a pharmacy in a bush for centuries, long before the honey was commercially branded. The bark, boiled into a tea to act as a sedative or used as a topical rub for sore muscles. The leaves, steeped to reduce fevers or inhaled as steam for colds. The resin, gum, applied to burns or chewed to treat coughs. 4. It thrives in stressed soil. The manuka shrub is incredibly hardy and often grows in poor, acidic soil where other plants die. In herbalism, plants that survive harsh conditions are often believed to possess more resilience or vitality, which is then passed on to the consumer through its honey or oils. 5. A natural humectant. In herbal skincare, manuka is prized because it is a humectant. This means it doesn't just moisturize, it actually pulls moisture from the air and traps it in the skin. This makes it an active ingredient in herbal salves rather than just a base. 6. It has a thixotropic nature. This is a fancy herbal scientific term meaning the honey is naturally a gel when at rest, but becomes liquid when stirred or shaken. This jelly-like consistency is a signature of high-quality manuka and is one way traditional harvesters could tell it apart from standard honey. 7. The anti-biofilm warrior. One of the most impressive herbal facts is manuka's ability to break down biofilms. Bacteria often build a slime shield, biofilm, to protect themselves from antibiotics. Manuka honey is one of the few natural substances that can penetrate this shield to kill the bacteria hiding underneath. 8. Short flowering window. The manuka bush only blooms for 2 to 6 weeks a year. This creates an intense harvest window. This scarcity is part of why it is treated with such reverence in both the herbal market and in ritual magic. It is a fleeting gift from the earth. Let's explore the magic and medicine of manuka honey a bit more.
If you've spent any time in a health food store or even, you know, the fancy aisle of a pharmacy, you've seen the jar.
Oh, yeah.
It's the one that costs a small fortune. Sometimes 5, even 10 times more than regular honey, and it promises all these miraculous healing properties.
That's manuka.
Exactly.
Right.
And what's so strange is that this one product is sold as a superfood you eat, and at the same time, it's used in hospitals as a serious medical dressing for some of the most stubborn wounds you can imagine.
It creates this really fascinating split, doesn't it?
It does.
That tension between the marketing hype and the clinical reality is exactly what we wanted to dig into for this deep dive. Our sources draw a very clear line between anecdotal claims and the actual well-documented evidence.
So the mission is to sort out if this is just an expensive gimmick or a genuinely powerful therapeutic.
Right. And spoiler, it's definitely unique.
Yeah.
But you have to know where the evidence actually applies.
The gold standard data, the stuff doctors rely on, is almost all about using it topically on skin for wounds and burns.
That's right. Anything about internal use, like for your stomach or general wellness, is, well, it's much more exploratory at this point.
So we need to get past this idea that all honey is basically the same.
We do. We need to unpack the science that gives manuka its unusual power. Specifically, it's antimicrobial, it's anti-inflammatory, and it's really impressive wound healing effects.
Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly is the mechanism that separates a jar of manuka from, say, just a jar of regular wildflower honey?
We have to start with the antibacterial activity. That is manuka's defining clinical superpower. Unlike regular honey, it has this exceptionally strong effect against a whole range of pathogens.
Including some of those drug-resistant ones we hear about.
Yes, which we'll get to. This power comes from 3 synergistic factors all working together.
And synergistic means they boost each other, not just that they're all there at once.
Exactly. They're more than the sum of their parts. The first and the most famous one is methylglyoxal, MGO.
I've seen that on the labels.
It's in much, much higher concentrations in manuka, and it's a potent antibacterial agent on its own. The second factor is the honey produces low levels of hydrogen peroxide.
Like the stuff in the brown bottle?
A bit, yes. It's a mild broad-spectrum antiseptic. And the third factor is just the low pH of the honey itself. It's very acidic. And most bacteria, well, they just can't grow in that kind of environment.
So if I see a jar with a really high MGO number, I can assume that's where all the power is coming from.
It's the primary driver. But this is where the science gets really fascinating. Researchers have done these experiments where they chemically neutralize the MGO. They basically switch it off.
And the honey stops working.
No. That's the thing. The manuka still remains highly bactericidal. It still kills the bacteria.
Wait, really? So the main ingredient on the label isn't the whole story?
Not at all. It strongly suggests there are other active components in there. Things that aren't peroxide and aren't MGO, but are still doing some of the work.
What could they be?
We don't know for sure. but it means the Manuka plant itself produces other compounds that work with MGO, maybe boosting its effect or even taking over when MGO is compromised. It's a highly sophisticated natural product.
That makes it so much more interesting than just a single chemical. Well, and yeah. It's not just about killing things, right? Our sources were clear that it helps the body repair itself. It has anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties.
They are. If you look at its chemical profile, Manuka is just packed with polyphenols and flavonoids.
Wow.
Much more so than other honeys.
And those are the compounds that fight cellular damage.
They are. They soak up harmful free radicals, calm down an overactive inflammatory response, and basically give the tissue the support it needs to repair itself quickly.
So it's a whole package.
What's fascinating here is just the sheer breadth of it. There's even emerging evidence, and this is in vitro, so, you know, in a petri dish.
Abs.
Lab stuff, yeah. Evidence that it works against certain viruses and fungi, which is very intriguing for the future. But we have to be clear, the clinical human data for those uses is still very, very limited. The solid proof is in wound care.
Which is exactly where we should go next. Because if the lab science is that strong, it makes sense the real-world evidence is about topical use.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra-lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
This is where medical-grade Manuka is really making a difference.
Right. This is where it stops being a food and starts being a clinical tool. When you put it on a wound, it does several things at once. First, it promotes tissue regeneration by keeping the wound moist, which is critical for healing.
Okay.
Second, it speeds up contraction and epithelialization. That's the process where the wound edges pull together and new skin goes over the top.
And this works for fresh injuries and also those really chronic problems like diabetic ulcers.
Precisely. Those non-healing leg ulcers and diabetic ulcers are notoriously difficult. And this is where some of the most compelling data comes from.
The sources had some powerful anecdotes there, clearing up infections that weren't responding to anything else.
Yes, including infections caused by MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus.
That's a huge deal in the context of antibiotic resistance. MRSA is a nightmare bug in hospitals.
It is. And in some of these case studies, they were seeing clearance of the infection within days or weeks of using a Manuka dressing after standard antibiotics had failed for months.
Wow.
It's that ability to knock down the local infection while also providing this perfect healing environment. That's why it's so effective.
What about other topical uses? Burns, maybe? Or after surgery?
Yes, studies show faster healing and less pain when it's used on partial thickness burns. Think like a bad scald or sunburn and on different types of postoperative wounds.
Yeah.
It just provides this protective healing layer.
But it's not a magic bullet for everything. I remember one study had a more nuanced finding.
You have to note the nuance always. There was one trial on scarring after eyelid surgery. They found the final scar looked about the same objectively with or without Manuka. But the patients who used the Manuka reported feeling better earlier on. Less pain, less inflammation right after the surgery, so it helps the healing process, even if it doesn't erase the scar.
That makes sense. And I know dermatologists are looking at it for things like acne and eczema, too.
They are. The logic is solid, right? It kills bacteria, reduces inflammation. But for now, the high-quality trials for those specific conditions are pretty sparse.
Hmm.
It's still experimental, not a standard treatment yet.
Okay. Here's where it gets really interesting. We're moving from that really strong topical evidence to internal uses, which are, you know, everywhere online. But the evidence is much more tentative.
Very tentative.
Let's start with oral health.
Right. The data we looked at suggests it can actually help reduce dental plaque and maybe lower the risk for gingivitis.
How?
The theory is twofold. First, its antibacterial action kills some of the bad bugs in your mouth. And second, its viscosity. It's so thick and sticky. Might physically stop plaque from sticking to your teeth and gums.
That sounds pretty good. But there has to be a big but here, since we're talking about putting sugar in your mouth.
The crucial caveat is that we just don't have good long-term data comparing it head-to-head with standard products.
Like a prescription mouthwash or fluoride?
Exactly. We don't know how it stacks up over months or years, so you definitely shouldn't be swapping out your toothbrush for a Manuka lozenge.
Understood. What about the number one reason people buy it? for coughs and sore throats.
Like any honey, it's a fantastic symptomatic treatment. It works as a demulcent.
Meaning?
It just means it's a sticky, soothing substance that coats your throat lining, that reduces irritation and calms the cough reflex. Now, because Manuka has that higher antibacterial and antiviral activity, it may offer an extra benefit.
But it's hard to prove that clinical difference.
It is. The big comparisons just haven't really been done. And it's important to remember that most medical guidelines, when they talk about coughs in adults or kids over one, they just say honey. Any honey.
Know.
They don't specifically call out the expense of Manuka for that purpose.
So it feels good, it probably helps, but maybe not more than the regular stuff for a simple cough.
That's a fair summary of the current evidence.
Okay, let's shift to the gut. We see so many claims about Manuka for everything from heartburn to IBS.
And this is an area of real preclinical excitement. Early studies suggest Manuka might protect the stomach lining and reduce inflammation in things like gastritis or peptic ulcers. There's even some really interesting work on its activity against H. pylori.
The ulcer bacteria.
The ulcer bacteria, yes. And for inflammatory bowel disease, IBD, there's exploratory work in lab models that shows it can reduce key inflammatory markers.
But this is all still early days.
Very early. The crucial takeaway for you, the listener, is that this evidence is nowhere near strong enough to use Manuka as a primary treatment. It's a serious area of research, but it is not a replacement for established medical care.
Let's go back to something we touched on earlier, because it might be the biggest implication of all. The role Manuka can play in the fight against antimicrobial resistance.
It's huge. This is where we connect the dots back to the bigger public health picture. Manuka's ability to deal with resistance is maybe its most valuable trait, and it comes down to its action against something called a biofilm.
Can you explain what a biofilm is? That term is key.
Think of a biofilm as a slimy fortress that bacteria build. It's a whole community of bacteria that secrete this sticky matrix around themselves.
A shield.
A shield, exactly. It protects pathogens like MRSA from antibiotics, which often can't get through that layer, and it hides them from our own immune systems.
And Manuka can get through it.
Manuka has been shown to stop biofilms from forming in the first place, and crucially, to help disrupt ones that are already there. It doesn't just kill the bacteria, it tears down their defenses. It also reduces their virulence factors, the toxins they produce, making them less dangerous.
So the practical relevance is obvious. For a chronic, resistant wound infection that's probably driven by a biofilm, Manuka can be used as an adjunct, a supportive treatment.
That's its clinical role. But the most exciting piece is the synergy effect. Some lab studies show additive or even synergistic effects when you combine Manuka with certain antibiotics.
So what does this all mean? That using them together makes the antibiotic more effective?
Yes. And the implication is that doctors might be able to use lower doses of antibiotics.
Which would help limit the development of more resistance.
Exactly. It could move Manuka from just a natural remedy into a legitimate partner for mainstream antibiotic medicine.
That potential is massive. Which I guess is why quality control is so important here.
It's paramount. If we're going to use this for serious medical applications, it has to be standardized.
So if you're looking to buy Manuka, what should you look for on the label to know what you're getting?
You need to look for the quality markers. They're basically a proxy for the antibacterial strength. The two main systems are the UMF, or unique Manuka factor, and the labeled MGO level.
And higher numbers are better.
Generally, yes. Higher numbers mean stronger antimicrobial activity, which is what you'd want for a therapeutic use. And crucially, if it's for an open wound, it must be medical grade. That means it's been sterilized to ensure it's safe and free of contaminants.
We have to talk about safety. People assume because it's a food, it's totally benign.
And that's not always the case. Topically, the side effects are usually minor, some stinging maybe, or a bit of skin irritation. Orally, you have the normal sugar-related concerns, the impact on blood sugar, and risk for cavities.
But there is one absolute safety rule, one thing you must never do.
Yes, the critical contraindication. Manuka honey, and in fact, all unprocessed honey, must never, ever be given to infants under 1 year old.
Because of the risk of botulism.
The risk of infant botulism. Beyond that, people with severe bee allergies or who have tightly controlled diabetes should be cautious and, you know, talk to their doctor.
Well, we certainly went deep into the hive on this one. It's clear Manuka is not a cure-all. It's not a replacement for standard medicine.
Not at all.
But it is a powerful, evidence-backed tool, especially for topical wound care against some of those really tough bacteria.
That's where the evidence is solid. The hype around general internal health, That still needs a lot more research. But for healing complex wounds and managing infections, it's been rigorously validated.
And I think the most profound thing we found in the sources was that synergy effect, the idea that Manuka can help conventional antibiotics work better and fight those resistant biofilms.
It's a potential game changer.
So if that research holds up and it becomes routine clinical practice, how might this one natural product fundamentally change our global strategies for managing chronic complex infections in the next decade? That's something worth thinking about the next time you see that very expensive jar on the shelf.
As we close today's episode, I hope you've gained a deeper appreciation for this incredible gift from the Manuka bush. From its unique antibacterial properties to its ability to support our bodies in healing, Manuka honey reminds us that some of nature's most powerful medicine comes in the simplest, sweetest forms. If you're inspired to work with Manuka honey in your own practice, remember to look for authentic products with a UMF rating of at least 10+ to ensure you're getting the therapeutic benefits we've discussed today. Start small, perhaps a spoonful in the morning or a honey mask for your skin, and observe how this golden healer works with your body. As always, our path as green witches is one of deep listening to the earth, to the plants, to the bees who create this magic, and to our own bodies as they respond to nature's wisdom. Thank you for walking this path with me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a fellow witch or herbalist who might appreciate learning about Manuka honey. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, may your path be green and your practice be grounded.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.